It's just a,
it's just not as fun. So
this is Solidarity Journal. Share in a common voice. Just might find your own.
To think that this was John Doe.
It's like the argument about the arguments in part. No, we fought an entire goddamn war. States' right to do what?
Thanks for tuning in to Solidarity Journal. It's Tuesday, June 28th. A little bit closer to Independence Day. Today I'm pleased to introduce Tara Edwards and her battle with the River Islands of the Illinois River. Also, we attend a union rally. We'll give you all the information on that. As of late, the Fourth Amendment is under attack by the Supreme Court. We'll remind you of freedom from search and seizure. And we'll do a community expose on the Peoria Theater and community gardens around the area. Witness Against Torture, a campaign to close Guantanamo and end torture, marched on Washington, D.C. in passive resistance to Guantanamo Bay and the crimes that are committed there. We'll give details of this nationally veiled story. You won't find this in the mainstream. As always, thanks for tuning in to Solidarity Journal. This is 90.7 WAZU. Stay tuned. The news is next. Top stories around the nation. In Congress, the House voted on Libya. The chamber voted down a measure that would give President Obama the authority to continue U.S. military actions against the Libyan regime. But the House also rejected an attempt to cut money for those efforts. The 295-123 defeat on the authority resolution was expected. But less than 2 hours later, the chamber voted 238-180 against defunding military actions in Libya. The measure would have barred U.S. drone attacks and airstrikes in Libya, but would have allowed the continuance of actions to support NATO troops. It seems there are some divisions in the House. Pretty status quo. In Wisconsin, legislators passed concealed carry privileges to the citizens of our neighbor to the north, leaving Illinois the only state in the nation to disallow such privileges. News of the Wisconsin passing has gun rights activists in an uproar, exercising their rights to march, petition, and bear arms the only way they can. Illinois legislative decisions seem to be attributed to Chicago Democrats, who by all rights don't want to see their city filled with citizens carrying concealed weapons. It's hard to understand why Republicans in a city like Madison would want to have their citizens carrying concealed weapons. Back in Washington, D.C., debt ceiling negotiations continue between Democrats and Republicans, and Medicare is on the table. Democrats offer cuts in Medicare spending, but not to beneficiaries, such as citizens, but to providers. The leader of these negotiations, Senator Baucus, continues to fight for Medicare and made clear at the hearing that no changes in Medicare will be made unless Republicans agree to use revenue increases in addition to spending reductions to reduce the deficit. Basically, Medicare will not change without a compromise. President Obama is slated to step into the ring personally, working with Senate leaders in both parties on further debt ceiling negotiations. Meanwhile, Republicans continue to attempt to stop spending money on the American people. Those are some attractive stories you might not have seen or heard in the mainstream last week. More news is around the corner. Stay tuned. As we all know, the Constitution guarantees us, a lot of freedoms. The Fourth Amendment is the part of the Bill of Rights which guards against unreasonable searches and seizures, along with requiring any warrant to be judicially sanctioned and supported by probable cause. Well, that's coming under attack by the Supreme Court, and many rulings have already thrown it out the window. For over a decade now, the government has tried to make us more secure by chipping away at the one provision of the Bill of Rights that pivots on the word secure, the Fourth Amendment's guarantee of the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. American history is rife with assaults on liberties that first target foreigners, minorities, and those on the political margins, then spread toward the mainstream. The 1917 Espionage Act, for example, was used to prosecute American labor leaders and other critics of the government, and the 1798 Alien Enemies Act was revived after Pearl Harbor to intern American citizens of Japanese ancestry. A similar process is taking place now, as the FBI has begun using counterterrorism tools to search, infiltrate, and investigate groups of American peace activists and labor leaders in the Midwest. In addition, Congress renewed Patriot Act provisions on enhanced surveillance powers until 2015, and the FBI expanded agents' authority to comb databases, follow people, and rummage through their trash, even if they are not suspected of a crime. The framers of our Constitution handed down a system in which liberty and security were fused as one inseparable from the other. So it is hard to see how safety has been enhanced by the post-9/11 expansion of counterterrorism surveillance, which has uncovered hardly any known plots, and instead burdens analysts with so much irrelevant noise that they have trouble hearing the ominous melodies. The false dichotomy of liberty versus security is accompanied by another myth, that someone else's rights are always the ones at risk, that I can give up their rights for my safety. It seems a comfortable bargain. The terrorist is covertly monitored, the drug dealer is searched, and the upstanding citizen is protected. But it does not always work that way. The constitutional system of case law and precedent applies rulings on rights universally. So, legally, if a black man in a poor neighborhood can be stopped and frisked with minimal reason, so can a white woman in a rich neighborhood, even if the police tactics differ. The Fourth Amendment is weaker than it was 50 years ago, and this should worry everyone. Uncontrolled search and seizure is one of the first and most effective weapons in the arsenal of every arbitrary government. Justice Robert H. Jackson, the former chief United States prosecutor at the Nuremberg trials, wrote in 1949, "Among deprivations of rights, none is so effective in cowering a population, crushing the spirit of the individual, and putting terror in every heart, than the removal of privacy." Last Saturday, June 25th, local building trade unionists, workers, and organizers gathered at Sheridan Village to demonstrate against a grievous decision on behalf of the property managers of the shopping center. The New York-based managers of the property decided to hire out-of-state contractors to do roof work on the complex. This Indiana-based non-union contractor in fact was hired for more than the local union labor bid the job at. This decision is much to the dismay of several storefront owners and managers at the Sheridan Village. I had a chance to speak with many well-informed union leaders at this demonstration.
Yes, the reason why we're here today is we're basically doing a demonstration. Emmis Realty, the owners of the shopping center here, has chosen an out-of-state roofing contractor that does not employ any of our local people here. Emmis is also, you know, they're an out-of-state contractor, so none of their monies that's going to be here is going to actually help our economy any. And so we're here doing a little demonstration, and really like to, you know, look at the help we got here. Solidarity is here. We're really, yes, solidarity is that. We are one.
Say that again.
We are one.
And is this out-of-state, is this out-of-state company not a union?
They are a non-signatory contractor, yes, that does not employ any of our local people.
How many local people does this affect? How many jobs are lost locally?
8 to 10.
8 to 10?
Yes, 8 to 10. There's about, this could be a little larger than that, but 8 to 10 people is about right.
And I've heard that the shops in Sheridan Village had been petitioning the property owner to employ local union labor.
Yes, they
and
have.
And the property owner said no.
Not against any of the people that lease these shops here. They're all good people. They all, you know, they're supporting us also along with this. It's just basically the MS Realty has, you know, decided to hire the out-of-state, you know, non-signatory contractor to do this work, do this project.
How long have they owned the property, do you know?
That I do not know. Been quite some time though, I do believe that.
Are there a lot of grievances against the union going on around Peoria of this nature?
Hit and miss. You know, it's with the economy the way it is, it has there has been some issues in the past, yes. But, you know, this is a pretty large project. There's about 550 squares of roofing to be done here. Couple months worth of project. And, you know, we'd had our local contractors actually, you know, do some bid work on this, and there's about $300,000, approximately $300,000 leaving this area. So, you know, that's quite a bit of money. It's not going to be into our economy here.
So. That's a terrible thing to hear. But we'll be standing in solidarity with you, and we hope that the festivities kick off soon.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
My name is Marty Helfers. I'm Executive Director of West Central Illinois Building and Construction Trades Council. Our council represents the 17,000 union construction workers and their families across West Central Illinois. Today, the rally is about a company that is stationed in New York that has decided that it's to their best benefit to bring out-of-state workers into Peoria to do work that has commonly been the work of our local tradesmen. It's wrong to seek people to shop their mall, and then when they get a chance to bring something back to our local economy, they choose not to. It's wrong. So today in this march, it's not just the building trades unions. You've got the United Auto Workers, you've got the teachers, you've got the hotel workers, you've got people from every union represented in Peoria on the line today walking and talking and working. So in solidarity, if we don't stand up now, there won't be a middle class to stand up for. And we got to work together and keep making the noise, keep walking the line until the people, the powers that be, realize that it's the middle class that made America what it is.
That's right.
Yep,
thank you. I spoke with State Senator Dave Kaler of our 46th District. He was at the Sheridan Village over the weekend, and this is what he had to say.
Well, I'm here today to support the trades and labor folks that are here because this is a threat to the area. I mean, we have plenty of people that are out of work that need to have, you know, jobs, and this is nothing against Hy-Vee and CEFCU. They've always built with local folks, local contractors, and we appreciate that. But this is a company now that's owned out of New York, and they've hired another, you know, contractor to come in from out of state. And, you know, those are not folks that are going to shop here. So, you know, we need to do what we can to support our local economy, to support our local contractors. I mean, we've got plenty of contractors that can do this job and do it just as well and just as cheap, on budget, on time. So I think that this is, you know, this is too bad for the community. And we have contractors here in Peoria that that can provide top quality work and at a better price. And that was the case here. They had a better price with, I know, better skilled workers. And they chose to bring in a out-of-state non-union company to do the work. And you know, that I don't know how you explain that. Certainly the company's not looking at bottom line if they're hiring somebody and paying more money to do it. The workers that they're bringing in, they're not the ones that are going to be shopping at the stores here. You know, so this really hurts, you know, our whole economy. That's, you know, we've got plenty of good qualified contractors that can do this work and do it cheaper, do it on budget, on time, and you know, that's what Peoria has been noted for.
What can you say about the fact that shops at the Sheridan Village had petitioned the property managers to go with local union labor?
Right.
And they still hadn't.
Oh yeah, no, the individual stores that are here are good, and that's not the problem at all. I mean, they support the local economy and local workers and local contractors without a doubt. So this is purely an issue of an out of state, in this case New York, owner, you know, trying to decide what's best, you know, for them, but certainly not what's best for the community. They go with an out-of-state contractor that's got a higher price. The quality of labor, I don't think, is going to be anywhere near what we can provide in Peoria. And so you just kind of have to scratch your head and wonder what kind of business, you know, decision was that? I mean, don't they want to do the stores that are their tenants well by encouraging you know, folks locally to shop there? I mean, I just don't understand it.
What can be said from a representative and legislative standpoint? Is there any legislation that can be passed to prevent these kind of decisions from happening and hurting local?
Well, this is a private, privately owned property. It's a private company, so there's not much that we can do from a you know, a state or legislative position, other than just to point it out and to make sure that the citizens of Peoria know that this is going on, and you know, we should be upset about it.
Struggles like this, of many sizes and degrees, exist in our nation, and the power of organized labor is in jeopardy. Let this be a reminder. Workers of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains.
Let us pray together for the dignity and rights of workers to live decent lives as the result of their labor. We must affirm that workers have the right to organize and bargain with their employers over wages, benefits, and have a voice on the job. We must insist that elected leaders honor collective bargaining agreements that were negotiated openly and in good faith. We must pray that elected leaders will come together with workers to address budget challenges and explore equitable options for our future. We must applaud the efforts of workers all over the world, in Wisconsin and in other countries, to stand up for their human rights, for basic health, safety, and dignity. God of justice, these are the people who take care of our children and our elderly. They build our roads and schools. They teach our children, serve our food, and attend our houses of worship. They do not deserve the attacks against them. Give them the strength to persevere and advocate for justice and fairness in the workplace. Amen.
Amen.
Mike Perillo, you all might know of him. He's been on the show a few times, and he's been a contributor to Solidarity Journal a few weeks in a row. Ever since
I think it was like the, I want to say like the fourth installment.
Fourth installment, for a while, since our infancy.
Yeah.
And he's going to Chicago 4th of July weekend, July 1st to the 4th, to attend socialism conference being held by, I guess, the socialist parties and supporters of socialism. Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to hear his report on that, and he wants to give a little details about what he'll be expecting up there.
Well, I'm not too sure. I know I'll have some friends from Madison, or people I've met at Madison during the labor movement up there, and they're going to be speaking about the, I think, some of the budget cuts they're doing on the health. There'll also be, I believe, Glenn Greenwald actually will make an appearance on Sunday.
What does he do?
Oh, Glenn Greenwald, he's he was once a constitutional law civil rights litigator in New York. He's written many books, How Would a Patriot Act, A Tragic Legacy, and Great American Hypocrites. He has a website at salon.com, and he does extremely good reporting and just blogging there. Well, right now, about the Obama administration, how they've kind of continued the Bush administration's attack on the Constitution, on whistleblowers, you know, the war and all that. But and there'll be other big speakers like Omar Bregody, who leads...
Omar Bregody?
Yeah, he's one of the founders of the BDS movement, the boycotts...
Divestment sanctions,
which is basically for the Palestinian people and the apartheid that's happened in Israel. And so that should be a very interesting speaking to sit in. And I've talked about his BDS movement here on the station before.
So how many days are you going to stay in Chicago?
I'll be there Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, and I'll be leaving late Sunday night. So it goes on until Monday, actually. The big opening is Friday at 8 p.m.
We're looking at the itinerary. What do you expect to be some of the highlights of the conference?
They have different sessions for people to attend. And it's going to be extremely difficult for me to even decide who I'm going to have to go see and then who I'm going to have to miss. Friday, there'll be a film showing, not just a game. Yeah, there's also, will be Tara Lee talking about the Wildcat, the 1970 postal workers strike. If anyone's familiar with Wildcat strikes, it's when you do strikes without the trade unions.
Yeah, without union support, in-shop strikes.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting also to hear Sherry Wolf, a well-known activist for both gay rights, socialism, and she's also outspoken as a Jewish woman on the Zionism in Israel, and she'll actually be talking about that. I think her speaking is titled The Myth of Zionism.
So what's it look like the biggest day? Sunday?
Sunday is definitely, Sunday will be the biggest day.
If there's any day you want to go, it's probably a Sunday.
Sunday, definitely.
Lots of speakers.
But yeah, definitely show up if you can for all of it. And if you don't want to pay for all 3 days, or don't even want to pay for a day, if you just want to pay for certain sessions, like you see a speaker like, oh, I've always wanted to see this person talk.
So you can pay.
You can pay. It's like
sessions.
Yeah, it's like, I think, $10 for a session. Oh, you know, that's like...
It's pretty great.
Anywhere from an hour and a half to maybe 2 hours right there. So... But yeah.
Well, when you come back and Solidarity Journal plays on Tuesday, July 5th, we hope to have a full detailed report on the Socialism Conference in Chicago, Mike.
Yeah, I hope so as well. And also for those who are listening, July 4th in Peoria, I'll be coming back from Chicago late that morning, but I'll be going over to the West Peoria Parade, just supporting the Peoria Peace Network. So please come down there. It's you should support your local parades and also your local activist groups as well.
Excellent. Well, also today we've got Tora Edwards with the Save the Peoria Lakes campaign. Tell us all about that.
Hello. My name is Tora Edwards, and I am the daughter of Tom Edwards, who was an environmentalist in this area for 45 years. My father was working towards bringing awareness to the Peoria area about the islands that are being built in the Peoria Lakes. He was doing this when he died. He was killed in a car accident on July 23rd, 2010, on the McCluggage Bridge right over his beloved Illinois River. My father had long fought for keeping the Peoria Lakes clear and free of being filled in. In 1972, he stopped fill from happening in the Peoria Lakes. We had a campaign that said "Save Peoria Lake" was our cry, and we had big blue bumper stickers with white bird on them that said "Save Peoria Lake."
Stop building islands. I got one right in front of me.
Well, right now we have new bumper stickers reminiscent of the ones from 1972 that say "Save Peoria Lake, stop building islands."
So wait a minute. You mean this has been going on since 1978?
It's always been effort. They have tried to fill in the Peoria Lakes for decades. Wow. And at that point, Governor Ogilvie came, the governor of Illinois, and denied a permit to fill in the lake, which saved Peoria Lake then.
What year was that the governor stopped it?
1972.
Wow.
Yes. So we are trying, we have kept our lakes open. At this point in time, we have learned that these islands do not help the siltation of the Illinois River.
Okay, so the Corps of Engineers' goal is to stop the river from filling up with silt?
The public think that these islands are supposed to help with stopping siltation. But in reality, they are not going to help with that at all. And the Army Corps of Engineers has not been responsible in letting the public know that. The sole purported reason for these islands, the sole reason is to create greater winter fish habitat, which would mean that in this area where this first island is being built, first of 18 proposed islands, this island itself is 21 acres, and it is at the northeast corner of the lower Peoria Lake, which happens to be one of the most pristine coves, if not the most pristine cove along the whole Illinois River. And this cove in history has been a marsh, which was fed by springs. It was always had water, even though it was a marshy area.
So the Army Corps of Engineers wants to build these islands so that it will increase winter fish habitats in the river.
Yes. So right now in that cove is 2 feet deep, which the thing is that this cove is not silting in. And that has long been the concern of the public that lakes are silting in. In reality, they are not silting in. In actuality, the lakes have become deeper in recent years and have greater volume of water. And so what we thought was happening is actually changing, largely due to a lot of the measures that have been taken since the 1970s. Many measures taken within the five-county area around Chicago of making stormwater detention basins in that area, which have kept a lot of the silt out of the river.
So upstream they've made measures to keep silt from collecting downstream.
Exactly, which is what we are saying needs to be done. What my father always said, that we need to try to curb the silt from coming into the river. And if we want to do dredging, then take the silt out of the river is what we're asking. Do not pile it into these human-made islands that are going to trap silt in the end with greater depth of water, which the Army Corps is saying they will do by dredging around these islands. There will become greater siltation. I asked them myself, will these islands silt in? And they said, yes, they will silt in.
Meaning the bank will reach the island and the new bank will exist where the island was. And it won't be an island anymore. It'll be the new bank of the river.
It'll be part of the land. The land will come out because of the silt and the sedimentation that will occur around these islands. The islands will become part of the land. The land will come out to meet the island. It will fill in that beautiful cove we have.
Something we want to keep. It's beautiful.
Waterfowl. Yeah, it's habitat for waterfowl, for birds, fish. If we put this island in, it will actually take less. Where are the fish going while this island is being put in? That takes away from the space in the river. Their rates of siltation that will silt in around the island are actually much lower than what happens. They project this will only create 25 years of winter fish habitat, and then it will no longer exist. So this island in 25 years will have no function at all, no matter, even if they are able to dredge around it. The siltation is much greater than that, actually, in what happens in this river. So it will silt in much quicker. The area where they dredged, at least, will silt in within 5 years, and then beyond that, silting in from the shore. We have had examples of this from the two islands they built in 1998.
Where are those located at?
Those are across the river from Chillicothe, Upper Peoria Lake. They are in the Woodford County Conservation Area. They have built two islands. Now, though, in 2002, my dad wrote about that there are now three islands. So the islands they built have caused siltation around the islands. They have made a third island, which is a 200-acre area of dry land. When the river is at its normal level, there's 200 acres that have been created of dry land because of siltation around these two islands that they built. So the islands have become peninsulas, and they keep growing in size, as do all the islands and peninsulas along the Illinois River because of siltation. This island itself that they're building in Lower Peoria Lake is also only called an experiment by the Army Corps of Engineers. We are saying, please do not use our lakes as an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And do not use our taxpayer money. Study the islands we have and the peninsulas and see what happens.
What do you know what this will cost? You said the taxpayers' money here in Peoria. Do you know what the cost would be to do this?
The cost of this first island is estimated to be $7.6 million.
Which they've already started, right. So that's being used.
Right. And then they were going to build two more islands immediately after that, just below the McCluggage Bridge, which are estimated to cost close to $20 million at least. So that's basically, it'll be 75 acres of islands right there. And it's over $233,000 per acre to build these. This island actually will trap the silt. Where the silt has been dredged out of the river, the rate of sedimentation, the rate of siltation increases with greater depth. With greater depth comes greater siltation. So that dredged area will actually fill in faster and quicker than if it weren't dredged. Also, the Lower Peoria Lake, where this first island is being built right now, has never needed to be dredged. It has never needed to be dredged. Dredging is hugely costly to the state of Illinois. The Army Corps of Engineers told me, yes, these islands will silt in, but once we are done, once we are paid, we leave. The Army Corps of Engineers has made an agreement with the state of Illinois that the state of Illinois then has to come in and dredge around these islands for them to stay clear.
So otherwise, they have to maintain.
They have to maintain. Hmm. So what we are saying is if this project is not feasible to be maintained.
It's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable.
What do we want to see in our river? A machine there permanently to maintain silt levels and depth of water? Of course not.
And do we want our taxpayer dollars going to that constantly?
I don't think so.
And do we want our taxpayer dollars going towards this project, which could be much better utilized to keep silt out of the river, to help heal our Illinois River, instead of doing measures which really do nothing to help beautiful river and lakes. Peoria was founded on these lakes because of their expanse, because of their resources, and it was founded for this reason. Our lakes will be reduced to a barge channel once these islands are built, and not great for commerce of Peoria in terms of tourism and bringing people here wanting to live here.
So so how long have you personally been involved in this?
I have personally been involved in this 1 year, since my father died. I had talked to him the day before he died. I said, "What are you working on, Dad?" My dad, Tom Edwards, said, "I'm working on trying to stop these islands they're building in the Peoria Lake." And I said, "Do you think you can sway them?" He said, "Well, I don't think so, but I'm going to try." I learned a lot more about it after I came here. It's just been so apparent to me that this is a really wrong step. The voice of my dad needs to continue, the voice of Tom Edwards in this area, and that he has taught us to have an environmental conscience. He was our environmental conscience. We have been taught by him that citizen activism needs to happen.
And how influential was your father when he was the voice, the environmental voice of the area?
He worked continuously for 45 years, and he was the environmental columnist for the Peoria Journal Star in the 60s and 70s. And at that time, he was their most widely read columnist, and he was very controversial. He has done amazing things in this area that people don't even realize. He was able to bring the county board to deny a permit for the expansion of the hazardous waste landfill. He worked for many years on that.
When did he do that?
That vote was, I believe, 3 to 4 years ago. Hmm. And they stopped that hazardous waste landfill. Hmm. My father, Tom Edwards, spearheading that campaign.
That's great.
Yeah. And he has continuously helped restore and save Banner Marsh area and Rice.
Down on 24.
Yes, a beautiful area. The cleanest waters in the state because it's spring fed and it's a very amazing model and example of what we can do. He's helped save Rice Lake and open wilderness here. He's helped save the mulberry tree on Forest Hill Road. He saved it by making a petition for that single ancient mulberry tree that they were going to cut down for expansion of that
road. Wow, I'd like to see that sometime.
It's very beautiful.
I didn't know that.
Near the Landmark Cinema there, just across the expressway there. And it's a huge tree that comes out over Forest Hill. It kind of shelters Forest Hill. You'll know it when you go under it. That he saved that tree, saved many stands of forest. He helped restore prairies. He spoke out for decades against the use of chemicals and such as herbicides, pesticides, and how they affect the Illinois River. The Illinois River does not have any vegetation because of the chemicals.
Its chemical contents.
Yes. And he's spoken a lot about erosion and changed a lot of measures that farmers have used through the decades, such as fall plowing. They no longer fall plow, largely because of my dad. He knew all the trees and plants and wild foods in this area and raised us on wild foods and organic foods. So, Wow. Yeah, a great, great experience with my dad here in Central Illinois.
I recall, and forgive me if you already answered, what was dredging?
Dredging is when they scoop the silt out of the river mechanically, by mechanical means. Right now, 161 million tons are being washed down the Illinois River every year and ending up in the Gulf of Mexico, causing problems in the Mississippi River.
The environmental impact is more than just here in Peoria. It goes further.
That's exactly it. This will not help our navigation channel. We already have a very deep navigation channel in the lower Peoria Lake.
Yeah, and if anything, if it needs to be deeper, just take it someplace else. Don't build islands.
Exactly. If you want to take it out, let's take it out of the river. Because building these islands also takes out billions of gallons of space that we need for floods. That it will impact flooding.
It will impact flooding. Sure.
Because you also have an island that's built up into the air, which takes out space where the water needs to go and below water. So it's taking up volume in the air and below the water level that the Illinois River needs to be able to reach safe flood levels. We already have filled in 97% of our floodplain along the lake here and along the lower part of the Illinois River. So we don't have much space to play with. So if we fill in, and this is what these islands are, they are fill in. They're filling in the Illinois River. They're another type of fill of the Peoria Lakes.
Yeah.
Then we will have greater flooding. And that, as we've seen this year, has huge impact on communities.
So I guess after hearing all what you've said up to this point, what can we do to stop this?
What we can do to stop this is to start talking about the island, make sure people know what's happening in the Peoria area, and contact our Congressman Aaron Schock at 309-693-9393 and say no to the islands. That is his phone number. Again, it is 309-693-9393. Or email him at info@aaronschock.com.
Just to let people know that, but
hopefully he will help protect our river. And also, if you can, write Governor Quinn or Lieutenant Governor Sheila Simon, she is in charge of Illinois waterways as the Lieutenant Governor. Illinois, there's both federal money and Illinois money involved in this. So writing to any of our politicians at state or federal level will help. Also, you can sign up a petition against the islands. You can sign that at Global Village, which is at 1308 East Cyberling Street in Prospect Heights. That's Cyberling Street and Prospect Street.
In the Heights.
In the Heights.
It's a great place to go and shop as well.
Global
sign
Village.
The petition. Where does the petition go to? Who gets it? Who gets the signatures?
The Army Corps of Engineers and the politicians. Yes, and you can also pick up a free bumper sticker there that says, Save Peoria Lake, Stop Building Islands. It's a beautiful bumper sticker.
How many petitions have already been signed? How many signatures have gone to the Corps of Engineers?
At least 1,500 signatures have already gone. I would say I'm talking to Peoria residents, as I have done to get these petition signatures, that 99% of the people have signed this petition saying they do not want our yeah. lakes to be filled in. Our lakes are our yeah. source of inspiration and renewal and just being able to go and look out across them. We need these lakes for more reasons than we can even imagine. The common misconception is that these islands will help to stop siltation. They will not help the navigation channel. The Army Corps of Engineers is only building them for winter fish habitat. And this habitat will not exist if we cannot keep dredging, which will not happen because the state of Illinois does not have the money to keep dredging these islands.
And the islands will fill in.
The islands will fill in around the
islands. And the banks. And the river will narrow.
The river will narrow. What we are saying is that we have our original shores of our lakes, and we have kept them up to this point in time. Let's keep them because we know that our lakes are beautiful and we want to keep them. And this is our greatest, greatest legacy that we can leave for the future. And we've kept them up to this point. The Army Corps of Engineers themselves has always denied any permits to fill in the Lower Peoria Lake. So why are they doing it themselves now? Why are they spending this much needed money, which we need to put towards other uses at this point in time, our taxpayer money, towards a plan that is not feasible? And it's a misconception that boating will be better once these islands are put in. It'll be very hard to boat around these islands. They will have very many shallow areas. It will be almost impossible. It will actually decrease the lake's boating area and make it much harder to boat. That we already have winter fish habitat is another point we want to make. In the channels and the marinas, in the deep channels of the rivers, we have winter fish habitat. We have enough winter fish habitat. The fish are safe.
What things would you like to see happen?
I would like to see Save Peoria Lake campaign happen again, that we can stop these islands, that we can protect our heritage on these lakes and protect these lake shores, which are so imperative to protect at this point in time. It is our greatest resource and investment to save our open natural areas.
What about further conversations with the Corps of Engineer and public forums? Anything like that happened so far? And if not, do you think it will happen in the future?
I don't know. It hasn't happened yet. My dad was consistently writing letters to the Army Corps of Engineers. They are well aware of that he was against these islands. Tom Edwards was against Peoria Lakes being filled in. The silt needs to be taken out of the river and used for the rich topsoil it once was, and that would be easily done. The shore there around this island is owned by the state of Illinois. We could store this topsoil, use it again for agriculture and fill. We are wanting to keep the land on the land and not put it in the river.
Mm-hmm.
This is Tom Edwards' idea. He has saved Peoria Lake many times, and we are asking that we save Peoria Lake.
All right, well, the story and legacy of your father is really moving. It's a great thing to have to know about in the local area. I hope you can do everything you can, and his legacy will live on, and our children's children will be fighting the same fight.
And if you can help, call me at Tora Edwards at 949-842-2630. 949-842-2630.
Tara, thank you for coming to Solidarity Journal and speaking with us. It's really important these local issues get publicity and time, and I thank you for your time.
Yes, thanks for having me, Zach, and I really appreciate being able to speak to Peoria. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
More national news. Thursday, June 23rd of last week, the U.S. House of Representatives
was disturbed by anti-torture activists calling for the closure of Guantanamo Bay Prison. While the U.S. House of Representatives chamber was filled for a vote, representatives' eyes and ears turned toward the chamber's gallery as a group of activists interrupted proceedings to call for the closure of Guantanamo Bay Prison and denounced provisions in the Defense Appropriations Bill concerning detention policy. 15 people for the group Witness Against Torture stood in the gallery to read the following statement. Today, the U.S. House of Representatives is in the process of contemplating not the passage of a bill, but the commission of a crime. Provisions in the proposed Defense Appropriations Bill grant the United States powers over the lives of detained men fitting of a totalitarian state that uses the law itself as an instrument of tyranny. The law in question would make the prison at Guantanamo permanent by denying funds for the transfer of men to the United States, even for prosecution in civilian courts. Abandoning the civilian courts, the bill would be the ultimate concession that the rule of law and cherished American values cannot survive the fear and hatred that have consumed this country. The proposed bill makes restrictions on the transfer of detainees, even to foreign countries, so severe that no one, whether cleared for release by our own government or acquitted in trials, could be expected to leave Guantanamo. It therefore mandates the indefinite detention, even of innocent human beings, which is the very essence of tyranny. Congress has an obligation to uphold the U.S. Constitution. All Americans have the obligation to defend human rights. The proposed bill makes America a callous and reckless jailer, unworthy of the name of democracy. It must be defeated. Guantanamo must close. Those unjustly bound must be freed. Justice must rule. The activists were removed from the gallery by the police and placed under arrest. They will likely appear for arraignment in District of Columbia Superior Court on Friday. Being that today is Tuesday, chances are their sentences have already been passed down. Before entering the House chamber, members of Witness Against Torture and a group called Torture, Abolition, and Survivor Support Coalition, other groups such as Amnesty International and many more, embarked on a march of shame, walking between the institutions in Washington, D.C. that continue to be responsible for unjust, illegal, and immoral American policies and conduct. The march began at the White House at 11 a.m. Thursday. The anti-torture activists, dressed in the orange jumpsuits and black hoods that are now emblematic of the policies of torture and abuses that the Obama administration inherited from President George W. Bush, the group solemnly proceeded to the Department of Justice, the Supreme Court, and the Capitol. The demonstrators called on all branches of government to close Guantanamo, end indefinite detention, repudiate the military commissions, and resist any effort to reauthorize torture in the form of enhanced interrogations. These groups exercised their First Amendment rights to petition the government and to peaceably assemble. They marched in response to Congress's current negotiations of the Defense Appropriations Bill and the provisions for detainees within it. It's clear that many energized and enthusiastic citizens of our great country, exercising their freedoms of expression, speech, and the press, are engaged on this issue. Whichever route Congress chooses, they were strong enough to have their voice heard. We should applaud them for that, whatever side of the issue you may be on. Solidarity Journal is committed to getting the word out of the exercise of constitutional rights, to be proud of it, and to honor it.
And you'll never see this in any mainstream outlet. You'll never hear this on any mainstream commercial news program. Sadly, that's just how they want it. We must exercise our rights before we lose them. After all, practice makes perfect, and exercise makes you stronger. Our rights are like muscles. They must be exercised. So never forget the rights given to you by the Constitution, and to use them, just like these brave citizens have in Washington, D.C. last Thursday. Thanks for listening to Solidarity Journal. Stay tuned. We're going to narrow our local focus to the community expose portion. I'm Zach Teague. The news will continue shortly.
Remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children.
The Peoria community is full of interesting facets and hidden gems. Being an advocate of people power, community is important to me. That being said, I want to use WAZU and Solidarity Journal as an outlet to encourage growth and participation in community. Last week, during a spontaneous bike ride, we met up with the general manager of the Peoria Theater. So we talked to him for a bit. He told us about the many movies that are playing and the many opportunities that the Peoria Theater has. This is what he had to say.
We've got a movie right now called Forks Over Knives, which was pretty much about the Western diet and how hurtful it's been to a lot of people and kind of trying to eat more plant-based stuff as opposed to, you know, meats and cheeses. And it's got a ton of cool statistics. It's done really, really well. Probably more than any other movie. We've had it for a week. And I would say more than any other movie, I'm already getting people that have never been here, that had heard about the movie from really strange places. Normally it's like from a friend. Here it's like they're getting this information from places I was like didn't even know that I would have never solicited. And everybody's really, really liked the movie. But, you know, just like any other time, I mean, we're showing, you know, three films right now. So then we've got a headbangers movie too called Hesher with Joseph Gordon-Levitt from Inception, Natalie Portman, reigning Oscar champ,
all right,
and Rainn Wilson from The Office. And then what's our third one? Earthwork, which is kind of a biopic, not a biography, but John Hawkes, who was in Winter's Bone and was up for an Oscar this year for his role in Winter's Bone. And that's a great film. I saw it the other day.
I want to see it.
It is, like, for summertime, if you've been working in your yard at all so far, come and see that movie. Because, I mean, it is like what he does is he creates earthworks. And what an earthwork is it's a work of art on the ground, but it's using gravel and wood and plants and trees. And when seen from a helicopter or a skyscraper or something, it looks awesome. And the movie just kind of chronicles that and shows some of his stuff. Like I said, it's a true story. And it's so cool. If you've been getting your hands dirty and planting stuff, I mean, that's what the whole movie's kind of about. And it's just like a really feel-good movie. There's cool characters in it. There's, you know, like no cussing. I mean, it's just like a good
family movie.
It's like a good human movie. I truthfully, it hasn't done, I'm not gonna lie, it hasn't done fantastic for us. It's easily in my top 10 of films we've shown here. We've probably shown 130 films so far. I loved it. But that's just the movie side. You guys want to talk about some events?
Sure. What you got coming up? Hey, why don't you tell the listeners your name?
I'm Luke McCann. I'm the general manager and owner of Peoria Theater. You know, we've been doing this for about 2.5 years and do all kinds of stuff. Like I said, always try to have some diverse films in here. Always try to do really a lot of diverse just our events, whether it's you know, a fundraiser or a kid's birthday party or a concert. I mean, again, from one night to the next, it could be a metal band and an indie band and a hip-hop thing. And hopefully, really, we're getting the ball rolling to where we are. I mean, I'd really like to be, you know, like a cultural place. I mean, we can get art hanging on the walls, community, and a band playing here on a Friday night, and you can watch a foreign film during the day and have really a glass of wine. I mean, why?
It's a cultural experience.
Why wouldn't it be, right? So, and, you know, I think the word's kind of out there. And not every movie is for everyone. I mean, 90% of the time we're showing films. So maybe there's a month that goes by that there's not a film that grabs you. And everybody's busy, and maybe you just don't have time. But that's why being diverse helps us too, is because maybe a movie didn't grab you. Maybe you don't go to movies much, but come and see, you know, one of the musical acts, or come and see one of the free movies that we do all the time.
What do you do that's free movie? Yeah, what?
The second Saturday of every month, we do Great Movie Night. And we started it about, this July will be our fourth one. This one's actually not free, because this one's going to be Rocky Horror Picture Show. But we did Pulp Fiction, then we did Shawshank Redemption, and then last month we did Natural Born Killers. All those were free. That's the second Saturday of every month. And then the day before that, the second Friday of every month, we do our monthly concert film, which we've been doing that for a year and a half. And those are always free. Always at 9 o'clock, free. Obviously, the full bar is open. And this month, so this coming July, July 8th, will be Bruce Springsteen. It's called The Promise, the making of the album he did called Darkness on the Edge of Town, on Friday night, 7, June 8th. Friday night, June 8th, at 9 o'clock.
At 9.
Full bar.
Free. And the movie's free. Springsteen.
That's free. And then Saturday night, the next night, will be the exact same thing. Saturday, July 9th, 9 o'clock, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Normally, that Great Movie Night is free, but I'm going to charge for Rocky Horror, but it's just $7.
Yeah, you're probably going to have a lot of people come for that, dressed up and all that good stuff.
We've done it a couple of times. We've done it the last couple Halloweens. We did it last July, strangely, so I thought, okay, I guess we're due. Apparently, we do it in July and at the end of October.
Yeah, it's a good time.
But it usually brings in a decent crowd. People have fun. A lot of people are always like, well, I've never been to one before, and they've heard the stories, you know what I mean? And it actually is a good place to kind of get broke into it here, because we're not... It's a little crazy. People are singing along, but it's not too crazy. We don't really have the actors on the side of the stage. Not that we're against that.
Yeah.
But it's not too in your face here. It's a good way to just kind of experience it on maybe a lower key than I don't know, some other places. But
Please. Yeah, keep WAZU in tune with what you all are doing.
Okay, yeah. I got your email, right?
Yeah. This is going to be on Solidarity Journal, which kind of has a leaning towards community, community lifestyles, community issues. What could you say that you offer to the community? You said the cultural experience and all that good stuff, which is great. What can you say you broaden community's horizons with?
Well, and here's, we are open for like rentals and event rentals and stuff. And I mean, we've worked with Easter Seals, United Way, OSF, a ton of other, whether it's a charity, an organization, non-for-profit group, I mean, Sierra Club, we worked with the Youth Symphony Guild, all these places, some of them do an annual thing here at this point. And they'll, they usually do a movie day or a movie night. It's almost always based around a movie. You say, hey, Friday night, 7 o'clock, showing such and such movie, whatever the cost is. And again, full bar, they give away maybe some prizes or a raffle or some tickets or whatever. And so... That way, they get a bunch of people, they get to make some money, I get to get some people in here that haven't been in here before, and I think everybody wins. You know, you're renting it out, but at the same time, you're going to end up making money, so the rental is kind of gone, and now they walked away with a pocket full of money for whatever the organization is or whatever, and it's no big deal, because some people came in and they watched a movie and saw a new place that they didn't know exist, and sometimes you never know, there might be an artist in the crowd, and next thing you know, he comes in, you know, a couple days later and says, hey, can I put up some of my art? So it's just kind of like a cool, one of those things that we offer, I think, so much to so many different people that it's bound to just kind of cycle itself through. But then, you know, at the same time, kind of just a normal place that you could rent it out and have your kid's birthday party here. You know what I mean? Bring in a DVD and show any movie you want. And have some ice cream and cake and some popcorn and you know, don't really have to worry about it. It's just a big living room for them.
Right on. Well, come on down to the Peoria Theater on Dreer's Lane next to the Landmark Fitness Center for a cultural experience. It's a little hidden gem in the Peoria area.
Hidden gem. Too hidden. Let's dig this gem up.
There you go. There's great family opportunities around you in Peoria. The Peoria Theater is online at peoriatheater.com. Their phone number is 309-202-2278. Explore Peoria's many hidden gems. More community exposé and local focuses are sure to come on Solidarity Journal.